This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. On the program today, we have a conversation with the director of Bells in Motion, a handbell ensemble that is giving concerts in Springfield and Pena this weekend. And also we'll talk with a member of the choir called Romeo and Julia Chören, that simply means Romeo and Julia Choir or Chorus. They're giving a program called Beauty and Burlesque, Songs of the Renaissance, at the Krannert Center this Thursday and Friday in Urbana. And those are dramatic productions, as you will find out if you stick around and hear that conversation. We'll hear, of course, some selections from both of these performing ensembles here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, beginning with Bells in Motion. Guest on this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9 is Michael Lamb, who is the director of Bells in Motion, a handbell ensemble based in Springfield, Illinois. I guess Springfield, is that fair to say?
That's where our main location is, yes.
And you're giving a couple of concerts this weekend, one in Springfield on Sunday and one in Pena on Saturday evening. And first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Program. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. A program called Bronze Tapestry. I'm guessing the bronze part has to do with the bells. And how about the tapestry?
Well, it's kind of like a tapestry of different types of music. As with most of our concerts, we try and mix in a lot of different things, both traditional and original compositions, as well as some pops tunes and more upbeat things.
Group's been around how long?
We're in our 13th season.
Wow, that's terrific. Have you been the director the whole time?
Yes. Founded it and have been directing it ever since.
And is handbell something that you had been doing for some time, or you just decided to start this, or what was the inspiration?
Yeah, I've been doing handbells for about 25 years, and mostly in our church, directed the First Congregational Church in Springfield. And when they first got handbells, I was helping direct the choral groups, and so they asked me if I would take on the handbells. I knew absolutely nothing about handbells, as happens with many handbell directors, and went to some trainings from the American Guild of English Handbell Ringers, as well as up at Illinois State University. Dr. Paul Rosine was teaching classes on handbells up there, so I went and took some courses from him as well.
So what are some of the crucial things one has to learn about handbell playing and also handbell directing?
Well, as far as the playing, it's an easy instrument to get started on, but as I like to tell advanced ringers, it's a very difficult one to become very proficient on. It is probably one of the most physical instruments because it is percussion, but you're ringing it with your hand and your arm as opposed to just fingers or embouchure or, you know, something like that. So it does tend to be a little more difficult to get the right exact movement that you need in order to ring the bells the proper way at the proper time.
I remember having a couple of, for me, sort of unfortunate percussion experiences where I discovered that hitting things like a triangle or finger cymbals, or that's, what's the one I'm thinking of, antique cymbals, are not as easy as it looks. And there's a certain amount of physical control that's required, and I'm guessing that's the same issue with the bells.
Yes, and even more so because, you know, we try and even though it's a percussion instrument, there are ways of making it sound more legato, more marcato. So when you are playing it, you're actually trying to interpret how it's going to sound. And by the movement and the way that your body stance is, you can affect that. And so what we work on, especially in Bells in Motion, in our tunes and our pieces that we play, is that we try and make sure that it's in the proper framework within the piece of music, and not just, you know, plunking away, you know, at the bell the way you hear some places do.
Well, I know that I've had a couple of chances to at least, you know, I think once I maybe did play in a handbell piece, but I can't remember when, but I remember that one of the tricks that surprised me, and I imagine it surprises a lot of people, when you first pick up a bell, you usually think, oh, I'm just going to flick the wrist and it'll ring. But that doesn't really work. You sort of have to throw your arm forward almost.
Yeah, and we would actually work with ringers, more advanced ringers, in lifting the bell more. You work more on the lifting part with the wrist and the hand and the arm all moving, you know, in sync, so that you can get the proper type of ringing with it. You can get a basic sound just by, as you said, just flicking the wrist kind of with the clapper mechanism. It isn't that hard to ring, but to get a really good musical sound can be a little more difficult.
Well, and it's easy to make the accidentally make the bell, make the clapper hit both sides of the bell. Hit it once, and then it rebounds, and you don't necessarily want it to do that.
Exactly, and we have follow-up movement. Once you've rung the bell, you know, what do you do with it at that point? And we have movement that helps alleviate that problem, as well as the adjustment of the bell is important. You can adjust them a certain way so that they ring maybe a little easier going forward than backwards.
At the performances that you're giving this weekend in Pena at First United Methodist Church, at 7 o'clock Saturday, and then in Springfield at your church, First Congregational, at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Will the ensemble be visible easily to those listening? Will you be in the front, in other words, or you can be in the back somewhere?
Yeah. Yes, no, we perform from in front, and they can easily see all the different bells. We have actually one of the largest sets of bells in the Midwest. We have 7 octaves of bells and 6 octaves of chimes that we use. And so in both cases, people will be able to watch real closely how everyone is ringing and the techniques that are used. One of the interesting things with bells, because it is so physical, it is got so much movement to it, hence our name, Bells in Motion. People say they really like to see what is happening as well as hearing it.
Well, I was going to ask, how much do you train your players to be visually interesting, or is there any sort of choreographic element to it?
There actually is, and we work real hard on when they're playing, for example, a nice chord, and everyone's got a whole note matching the circle of the chord, because the Doppler effect of the bells, you know, because they're moving towards and away from the audience, you actually will hear the pitch slightly and get a little bit higher and a little bit lower. We want that to be in sync so that the bells don't sound out of tune with each other as they might if they're not quite right together. So we try and match that both for the auditory part of it, the sound, and for the visual part of it.
And you mentioned chimes as well as bells. What's the difference?
Chimes are a instrument that's played similar to the bells, but they are made of aluminum instead of bronze, and they are like a kind of a large tuning fork. They produce a real fundamental sound. It's a little more mellow, and in one of our pieces, in fact, one we think we have to play today, you'll hear chimes being used as a way of setting off a melody line while the bells are playing. So it helps as a different kind of sound that you hear. A lot of people, when they hear our concerts, because we have such a wide range of chimes, they equate it to kind of the sound of an organ maybe underneath. They say, was that organ playing? And it was actually the chimes that were being played.
Mm. And which is the piece you were referring to?
This is a piece called Te Deum, and it is based on a Gregorian chant, and the arrangement setting is by H. Dean Wagner. It also incorporates Leone and Morning Song in with it. And the interesting part of the piece is at one point we actually have 3 melodies going at the same time. Low bells, chimes in the middle, and high bells on top. And it's very interesting to hear how that all interrelates so that you can actually, with your ear, follow along in any particular part of the melody.
So let's hear that piece now. It's Te Deum by H. Dean Wagner, played by Bells in Motion, a handbell ensemble based in Springfield, giving concerts this weekend on Saturday in Pena and Sunday in Springfield. We're talking with director Michael Lamb here on Live and Local on WILL FM.
Thank you.
That was the handbell ensemble Bells in Motion, directed by Michael Lamb, who's my guest here on Live and Local today, this portion of the show, and a piece called Te Deum by H. Dean Wagner. The Te Deum is a text in the Latin church. He must have had in mind that text when he was writing the piece, but obviously you all aren't singing it.
Correct. And I think the main thing he was trying to achieve with the piece, and we actually have played this for the composer, is that I believe that he wanted to put it in a more modern setting a little bit, and yet still have the tunes that the music that he had envisioned still come through. And so it's a pretty exciting piece, and one that uses the full range of bells that we have available.
The programs that you have and the pieces you sent along are quite a mix of things. Usually you think of handbells. I think of handbells as a church instrument, and you are indeed playing in churches, and that's how you got your start, in a sacred context. But you've really mixing up the sacred and the secular.
Yeah, one of the things we've always wanted to do with Bells in Motion is to explore other genres of music. And the group itself has kind of been on the forefront nationally with commissions of more current tunes. I mean, things like In the Mood, I Got Rhythm will be on this concert. And so pieces like that are ones that we find need some more exposure, because the instrument itself is very versatile. And can be used in a wide variety of settings. In fact, our opening piece for the concert will be Thunderer March, John Philip Sousa. And it works very well on bells. We can use them in different settings and different types of pieces. And so and we find that it's an area that we all wanted to explore and also wanted to present to audiences.
You're a professional handbell ensemble. What does that mean literally, and how common is that?
It's getting to be a little more common. Basically, it means that the group gets paid for the performances. Certainly, as with most musicians, by no means is it their sole source of income, but we do have a number of folks that are directors and are musicians in other areas. But it does mean that also they bring with them professional outlook on the music that they play. Everyone is responsible for learning their music before they come. We only have three or four rehearsals that we get together to perform a concert with. So we have people coming from as far away as Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Iowa.
To play in the group?
Yes.
Really?
So there's not that many groups like ours. I mean, we have some in Chicago, one in St. Louis, and then you got to go all the way to Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Detroit area.
So how often do you rehearse then?
We rehearse once a month for 7 hours.
Seven hours? Wow. I guess if people are going to travel from distances, you make it worth their while.
Well, that's exactly it. And so, we go so that they can drive down or come down the night before in some cases, do the rehearsal, and then head back home. So.
Wow, that's a pretty serious commitment. I would have never guessed that. Well, that's different to me. We actually opened with In the Mood, which I understand is a signature piece of yours.
And yes, it was one of it was actually our first commission from composer Ranger Hart Morris, and it's become one that people expect to see and hear from us. We don't play it in every concert or every season. In fact, we don't have it slated to play this particular spring, but we did play it last year and have had great success with it.
Well, it's another of those pieces that I wouldn't have expected anyway to hear in handbells, and it's quite a bit of fun. You have a piece also here, the more subdued variety, Nocturne by Michael Hellman. Is this was this a commission for you?
No, it was actually a piece that he wrote a number of years ago. It was really more of a traditional handbell piece. It was written originally just as a typical type of church piece, but it was original in the composition. Over the years, we played it that way at first, but later on, because of our style, we started adding some things to it, and the recording that we have is from our spring concert last year, which was a joint concert with the Jane Hartman Jazz Trio that's real well-known here in the Springfield area. And you'll hear Jane on piano, as well as we've got drum and bass with it and some other percussion instruments as well. So it's kind of taken on a new sound, if you will, and I think more of a more modern jazz or new age type of piece.
Okay, music by Michael Hellman, a nocturne of his, played by Bells in Motion, a handbell ensemble based in Springfield. The director, Michael Lamb, is my guest here on Live and Local on WYLL Urbana. And that was music by, or performed by, Bells in Motion, who are giving concerts this weekend, Saturday in Pena at First Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, Sunday in Springfield at First Congregational Church, Saturday is at 7, Sunday is at 4, and the director, Michael Lamb, is my guest here on Live and Local, and the music was by Michael Hellman, called Nocturne, and with the Jane Hartman Jazz Trio from their spring concert last year. It was actually fun when I first found out about you guys. Was from somebody, as it turns out, I knew, Angie Chase. Used to play French horn in my orchestra here in Champaign called the Prairie Ensemble.
And Angie's one of our outstanding ringers, and we certainly appreciate having her in the group.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. She was a good horn player. I don't know if she still plays anymore or not, but it was really fun to see her name because I hadn't heard from her in a long time. Do you have any guests on this concert?
In this one, we have our standard group, as well as we generally have Rich Olson, who accompanies us on bass. And then on bass we have Melody Palm, who's actually joined the group and is one of our ringers now as well. So We had her as a bass player for us for years, and she also did play handbell, so she decided to come in and join us playing bells as well as the string bass.
How often do you have openings in the group?
Because people do move around, we generally do have some openings, and the group can expand. It doesn't have to be a set number of people. We have a set number that play a piece of music, but people sub in and out all the time. We also have set interns that come in and play. They're just learning the more advanced ringing, and so they come in and play for a semester or two as an intern and then audition to be a full-time member of the group. And in addition to that, we have another group called Prairie Bells. So that's an intermediate level group that is kind of a learning group for ringers that want to learn more advanced music than they get to play at their church groups, and yet not quite up to the level of Bells in Motion.
Do they do their own concerts, or will they appear on this one?
They actually appear in one piece on the concert. We consider that to be part of the learning process, to be playing in concert. So they have a piece that they'll be performing, Meditation on Beautiful Savior. It's a bit more of a traditional piece, but a very beautiful arrangement by Kathy Mokobust.
And you answered earlier just the question that I was going to follow with, which is that apparently you do have to audition to get in the group, which makes a lot of sense if you're going to be a professional group. What's the age range, more or less? Pretty wide?
Well, you know, as far as I can guess, we have pretty much all ranges. We probably don't. We don't have any students this semester. We have in the past had students at the high school level or college level, and we do not currently. In fact, my son and daughter played just up until this past year when they went off to school. My son's there at U of I, and daughter's over in England. But we right now, so it's pretty much in their younger 20s up through whatever, where they're still capable of the physicality of playing.
Right. So an expectedly wide range. I mean, I usually think of, and maybe this isn't fair, I usually think of handbell ringers as older people in churches, which may not even be true. I actually have a choir, direct a choir to church where the priest wants nothing to do with handbells. So
well,
he just has a thing about that. I don't know why.
We do run into that once in a while, and I always maintain that it's probably because they haven't heard the right mix of music or haven't integrated it properly. We're working very hard to find, I mean, the handbell community is working very hard to find the right kinds of music, maybe even combined with praise bands and more contemporary services and other types of music that will fit better than the more traditional music. And certainly, if you can hear, when you come hear our concert, you can hear that bells can do a lot more things.
Well, including the tune we're going to go out with, which is the Blue Rondo a la Turk of Dave Brubeck. Which is not one you'd expect to hear in your average handbell performance, but we're going to hear it now as we wrap up this conversation with Michael Lamb, who's the director of Bells in Motion, and their concerts for the spring are this weekend, Saturday at 7 o'clock at First United Methodist Church in Pena, Sunday at 4 o'clock at First Congregational Church in Springfield. There's a $10 admission charge, and you can just pay at the door. For more information, you can go to, do you have a website? Yeah, bellsinmotion.org.
Yes, yes, we do. Good. And it's always kept up to date, so there's lots of information there.
And if you want to get personalized information, you can call the man I'm speaking with, Michael Lamb. The phone is area, do you prefer the phone or email?
Actually, email is the easiest, and that is at mlamb@bellsinmotion.org.
And it's MLAMB. Mike, thanks very much for joining us on the show, and it's been a pleasure to hear your group.
Kevin, my pleasure, and I hope we can get people to come and hear our group this weekend.
I expect you will. It's Blue Rondo a la Turk, Dave Brubeck's music played by Bells in Motion here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Bells in Motion in Dave Brubeck's music, Blue Rondo, here on Live and Local. And again, that concert one more time. Concerts, Saturday at 7, First Methodist Church, Pena. Sunday at 4, First Congregational Church in Springfield. For more information, bellsinmotion.org. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs today are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to experience the thrilling athleticism of MOMIX on April 29th and 30th. More information on this and other events can be found at krannertcenter.com. And we have support today from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Urban Vedin, who is the producer for a touring show from Sweden, or a touring group from Sweden, called Romeo and Julia Curlin, or Choir, or Chorus. And you can take your pick, apparently. And as he was just telling me off air, that name, the choir chorus part, actually has various meanings. So, first of all, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Where are you on your tour right now as we're speaking?
Oh, we're in Hampton.
Hampton, Virginia?
Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is this your first U.S. tour?
Yes. We did a promotion tour in January for Columbia, just for the bookers and presenters in New York. And even though I've personally and some of the group has been on tour with the Dramatic Theater of Stockholm, on earlier occasions, this is the first U.S. tour for the group.
And the group has been around how long?
Since 91.
And you're just now making it to the U.S. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had an interesting beginning, which explains the first part of your name, the Romeo and Julia part.
Yeah, that's right. We started before my time in production by Romeo and Juliet at the Royal Dramatic Theatre. Was a Danish director, and Mr. Benoit Malmberg, who is our artistic director, still is, and still going strong in the room next to mine at present, talking to his family. He was given the assignment to do to be musically responsible for the production. And he asked the director and the head of the theater if he could use live music performed on stage, because normally, at least at that time and still, all music usually are recorded for theatrical performances. And he was admitted this, it was the embryo of the Romeo and Julia Chören.
And so you just took the name from the play that you started with.
Yeah.
And they're still doing, in addition to the concert work, they're still doing some stage productions. Is that right?
The Romeo and Julia Chören.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I should add also that I'm also part of the ensemble, so I work double time now.
Oh, I do see you on the tenor list.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
What do you? I mean, when you do stage productions, is it similar to what you did in that original Romeo and Juliet?
No, not quite. Actually, we always do stage productions. It's the group is working. It's a kind of a music drama, Renaissance music drama, vocal ensemble. So it's always a theatrical presentation. It's we almost never do regular concerts, just standing up singing. The feature with this group is that it's a dramatic ensemble.
With costumes, props, yes. And yeah. All kinds of things.
Yeah, and within the group we call some things we do concerts, but it's still theatrical performances. It's just a way for us to make distinctions between productions more sort of with a red line or red thread to it, or and other more loosely connected productions.
So the one you'll be bringing to the Krannert Center, which is called Beauty and Burlesque Songs of the Renaissance, is a sort of is more of the concert / stage production,
yeah.
As opposed to being involved in in a play.
But we actually do a first part that's sort of more towards the I don't know really. It's more a connected, not story line, but an idea. Of love, and the first part we do is called Sefirotorna, and the second part is Beauty and Burlesque, and after the intermission, and the first part is sort of more held together by an idea and one composer, and the second part is more loosely stitched.
And the first part is all music of Claudio Monteverdi.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about that, because I was reading about, you know, that you're calling that the first of two acts in a madrigal comedy,
yeah.
Production.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that, how that does hold together with Monteverdi's music.
Oh, well, it's quite interesting. I will try to explain this, because this is a difficult part to explain, but I think what we do, since we're working with Renaissance music, we are sort of connected with the Renaissance. But during the antiquity and the theater, the birth of the Western theater, you had the chorus, and then a person stepped out of the chorus and was the sort of chorus leader, and you got the dialogue. And this process they tried to revive during the Renaissance with the Camerata in Florence and everything. And around this time of Monteverdi and the Camerata and Galileo's father, Vincenzo, who was a lute player, also Galileo was a lute player, they sort of experimented with all sorts of different stage music, stage forms, and they had this idea that the lines were sort of sung in some kind of way, and suddenly you had the opera, and sort of the form pre-existing the opera with all sorts of madrigal dramas, madrigal comedies. You had in England you had the masque plays. That's sort of the area we are moving in, and also it's of course connected with the antiquity and the birth of the theater. But it's just an idea in our heads, and then we do everything the way we would like to experience it, because if we are not trying to be historical about it. We're just trying to be we try to perform the music and the enact it in a way that we ourselves would love to see it.
But you do have historical elements in the costuming and
oh, yes.
Some stylistic
yeah.
Faithfulness, I guess,
yeah.
Is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, yeah, we do. But we mix a little bit with the styles and the interpretation. Il
For a short tune that's got a lot of words, il est belle bon, he's good and handsome, good, good, dear neighbor. And that's more or less the first part. And near dear neighbor is my husband. Whoever it is saying to the neighbor, my husband is good and handsome. And then a little later, he doesn't get angry with me, doesn't beat me, he does the house, he gives me chickens, and I enjoy all that. Neighbor, is it for a laugh when the hens cluck? Cock-a-doodle, little flirt, and goes on from there. What's going on here is the final question. That was the group called Romeo and Julia Kirin, whose manager, Urban Vedin, I've been speaking with here on Live and Local, and we'll continue that conversation in just a moment. Need to mention that our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, where visitors of all ages can uncover and discover the wonderment of America's musical past through guided tours Monday through Friday at the University of Illinois. More information is at SousaArchives.org. Here's another cut from an EP, I guess you would call it, from Romeo and Julia Kirin. This is a tune, I believe I have it cued correctly, Lirum Billy Lirum by Rossino Mantovano. And I should have said that Il Belle Bon was by Pierre Passereau. Lirum Billy Lirum, music by Rossino Mantovano, and goes more or less, ah, sound the muted trumpet. Pedrina, you hear me well, and not just out of duty. Again, sound the muted trumpet. I have loved you for 6 years and been a good servant to you, but I've been waiting for you for so long that I shall end by bursting with love. Ah, don't give me more grief. You know well that I speak the truth. That was sung by Romeo and Julia Kirin, who will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana this Thursday and Friday. And I'm in conversation with their manager and one of the tenors, Urban Vedin. And we continue that conversation right now on Live and Local. Does the group do exclusively Renaissance music or just on this particular tour?
I would say... Almost exclusively Renaissance music, or music that you sort in some way can connect to that time. We do some folk music or ethnic music from Russia and with old roots in some way. We try that's a profile we have.
And you sing. Often with one instrument, a lute or theorbo.
Yeah.
And any others?
Yeah, we have mixed with a double bass or a gamba, or we also have a lot of percussion, like djembe and tarbukas and stuff like that. But mainly lute. Lute is the prevailing theme of the instrument. That's a sort of the central instrument.
Yeah, I was going to assume some percussion, and I'm guessing the choir members play those?
Yeah, and the lute player, and it's a mix of everything.
The second part of your show that's at the Krannert Center, I should remind people that we're talking with Urban Vedin, who is the producer for, and one of the tenors in the group, Romeo and Julia Kirin from Sweden, who are going to be at the Krannert Center on Thursday and Friday, the 22nd and 23rd. Both evenings at 7:30 in the Caldwell Playhouse there. Fitting theater because it is a dramatic production. But tell me about the second part of the show, the beauty and burlesque part of it. How do you characterize those two aspects of it?
Oh, um, I think it's, you get it by the name.
Well,
it's beautiful, but it's very burlesque. It's respectful and disrespectful at the same time. It's a play with everything. You know, we try not to take things too seriously, and one way of describing what we do would be with a very humoristic musical comedy, like the old American musical comedies by Gershwin or Cole Porter or someone like that. It's with no real plot or anything, just fun things happening and conflicts and love and everything.
Almost like a musical review.
Yeah. And also that's why we were thinking about what would be a good title for the American audience to relate to. And burlesque, you have this tradition of the burlesque that sort of, well, if you connect it to the Renaissance, I think you might get some kind of picture of what it might be. But what people tend to say every time, we try to find different ways of explaining what we do and what it is. And every time people come and say, oh, you know, if we had known what it was, we're so surprised. And it's always difficult to explain something that people haven't seen before.
Well, it's hard to describe the visual.
Yeah.
I mean, we can play your music, and obviously they can hear what you sound like, but they can't do the visual part since this is radio and it's not television.
Yeah.
Of course, with burlesque, maybe this is partly my own way of thinking, but the first thing that comes to mind is showgirls and strippers and so on, and I'm guessing you don't have any of those.
No, not quite, though. It's a little bit of, you know... No strippers, but it's. I think it's the sort of that type of.
There's some that's a bit risque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so. Yeah.
Well, looking at some of the pictures on some of the photos on your website.
Yeah.
They're very dramatic. I mean, just looking into the faces of the performers, I would have guessed that they were actors first and singers second.
Oh yeah,
is that
I mean,
the case?
It started out like that. The group started out like that. Then we have put more and more focus on the acting or the singing to sort of balance it up, because we really need to be strong singers. It's like musical theater. It's you need to have all things, and also we have dancers. Me myself, I used to be a musical theater actor and dancer before I started with this. So I think the qualifications to participate in the group is quite high, because you need to be good at many things.
Well, it sounds like you need to do the things that people in musical theater need to do, which is sing, act, and dance.
Yeah, that's right.
So there is a fair amount of dance in there. Well, I do see you have a choreographer in your midst.
Yeah, we have, it's not choreography like that, but it's.
It's not going to be West Side Story.
No, not really, but close.
A Renaissance West Side Story.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even think about when I said that, because that's supposed to be an adaptation of the Romeo and Juliet story.
Yeah, that's right.
How about that for
purely
coincidental?
And we used to have a member earlier that always tried to describe the group as, you know, what you'll see, a Renaissance musical.